Welcome to the Foster Parent Well podcast, where we have real, candid, faith-filled conversations about all things foster care, adoption, and trauma. I'm your host, Nicole T. Barlow. I'm a certified parent trainer, a certified health coach, and an adoptive parent myself. This is a space where you can find support so that you can care for your kids with a steadfast faith, endurance, and joy. I want you to foster parent well. So let's jump in. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm excited to be here with you today. My name is Nicole T. Barlow, and I'm going to be your host. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the need for more foster families in the foster care and adoption space. The foster care system in the U.S. is in crisis, and I think it has been for as long as I can remember. Right now, there's approximately 400,000 children in care in the United States, and the number of homes is actually declining. It fell to under 200,000 homes in 2023. According to the national average, nearly half of all homes licensed to provide foster care will quit within the first year. I don't know if any of you have ever been in sales or business, and maybe you've heard the statement that it's easier to keep a customer than to get a new one. It's kind of like that old saying, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. But those things suggest that what you already have is worth more than trying to get something new. And even though this isn't about customers or money, the same concept applies. One of the biggest factors in the need for more foster and adoptive homes is that we are often losing homes faster than we are gaining them. To get certified is a process, and it's often a very, very lengthy one. It takes time and money for a family to get trained and to get approved. And not just that, but even when you're talking about kind of learning the ropes of the foster care system and all the acronyms and the language within the system, as you're just trying to get acclimated to it, it takes time before families really know how to navigate the system itself. Because of that, we could be a lot more effective if we found ways to support and encourage the families that are already doing it. It's part of the reason that I started this podcast. I want foster and adoptive parents to feel supported and equipped to fulfill what God has called them to, even when it is super hard. And I know that there are all sorts of factors within the system that make it very difficult to continue on long term. I mean, there's things like the dysfunction of the system itself, the weight of watching kids suffer and seeing the brokenness of families, the injustice that we often witness, the grief that we have to go through from time to time. And we often don't really have a voice in the system, and we may not feel valued in this system that we're trying to help. But the reality is that we are called to do hard things, and through Christ, we are able to walk the difficult roads that have been set before us. But we need people to remind us of that from time to time. We need to be encouraged. We need community to remind us of those things. Imagine if we could empower foster families to stay engaged longer because they felt supported, satisfied in the valuable work that they're doing. And ideally, the individuals that are in it would be better trained and more knowledgeable because they would have more experience. And that means potentially they would be better suited to meet the needs of the kids in care. I also understand that there are times and seasons where families need to put foster care aside, and that is where the need for additional families really comes in. We're going to talk about five ways today that we can advocate for new families to foster and adopt. The first is prayer. We need to pray for more families to step up. We need to pray for more workers. We need to pray for God to stir his people to action. Pray specifically for people in your church and your community to step up to this call. I think we have the responsibility to pray without ceasing and then to sit in expectation of how God is going to answer that prayer. Prayer always needs to be our first step because God is much more powerful than we could ever be. But I do think that there's some tangible things that we can do as well. And I think one of those actually starts with how we do discipleship in the church. Are we really discipling others well in the gospel? And that doesn't mean that we're constantly talking about foster care and adoption, but just the gospel. Do others in our church community really understand the magnitude of the gospel and the hope and the love that has been given to us freely? If so, we should be a people that are running to broken places to share love and hope with others. A big part of the reason that my husband and I decided to foster is because as we were discipling my son, we were reading with him in the Word things like we should be laying down our lives for others and caring for the least of these. And I have to be honest that we lived in this little suburban bubble, and our lives back then were mostly centered on us. And that didn't sit well with us. I mean, how could we teach him to do hard things where he needs to rely on the Lord? And how could we teach him to take up his cross daily? And that we truly believed these things if we weren't really doing those things ourselves? Foster care was one way that as he was growing up, we discipled him. We taught him what sacrifice really looks like. We walked through grief with him where he had to rely on the Lord. But that's what discipleship is supposed to be, right? I mean, Jesus, when he took his disciples, he didn't just teach them as a group. What he did was, is he took that group of men to follow him as he served others. And that's how he taught them to serve others. If we teach our kids that they're the center of the world, then we probably shouldn't be surprised when they think that way as adults. I've been reading in Exodus this week in my reading plan. Yes, it is March and I am just in Exodus. It shows you how slowly I have been going through this reading plan. But I have just been blown away by the laws and the commands that the Lord gives his people in regards to the fatherless. They were very straightforward commands about caring for the orphan. And then there were very harsh penalties for those that exploited or wronged them. We serve a God with a heart for the orphan and the widow. And as Christians, we've been called to care for those populations. God knows that children and widows need the church to look after them so they're not so vulnerable. And if we, as Christians, have the Spirit of God inside of us, making us look more and more like him each day, and his heart is for the fatherless, well, shouldn't that be our heart as well? I want to make something clear, though. God is for adoption, and God wants his people to care for the orphan, but those things can easily get twisted. I have seen it many, many times in the adoption community. God's heart is not that families would be broken apart, but rather when, in our broken world, families are broken apart, then those children would not be left alone. As a church, as we disciple our people well, the gospel will move people to action. And this action may not always be foster care and adoption. There are lots of ways that people can serve others. But I guarantee there would be more people stepping up if they really understood the gospel as a whole. The next thing that we can do is to educate others on the need. I don't think that most people are aware of the gaps that there are in regards to the children in need and the homes that are available. And they may not be aware that kids are sleeping in hotel rooms or group homes or state offices because there really is no place for them to go. I think we have the opportunity to share those things, and we can educate people on what can sometimes occur if children don't have stability and family. Young adults who have aged out of foster care have many times different outcomes than children that have the support of a family. Young adults who have aged out of foster care experience higher rates of unemployment, and those who do find employment often earn lower wages. Only 3% earn a college degree by the age of 25. 36% have experienced homelessness or unstable housing within a few years of exiting foster care. And individuals who age out of foster care are much more likely to have interactions with the criminal justice system. While a lot of these statistics may vary by state or region, and it certainly doesn't tell the story of each individual child, the concept is the same. Kids need family. The missing link is community and support. Stable relationships change the outcome for people. We were created to live in community, and foster care and adoption can sometimes mean that these kids get to have the community that they need and they don't have to go it alone. But I think the general population may not understand a lot of those outcomes, and so we have the opportunity to educate them on that. The fourth way that I think that we can inspire others to get involved is just to live our life out loud and in community. This doesn't mean that you have to share all parts of your life or any details of your child's story with people. In fact, you shouldn't share everything with other people. We are bound as foster parents and adoptive parents. We are bound by confidentiality laws, but we can also be intentional about not hiding in a cocoon. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." Prior to foster care and adoption, I never had anybody ask me the reason for my hope. I mean, aside from our lack of swearing or maybe a few other things that we didn't do, our lives looked very, very similar to our neighbors that weren't Christian. But after entering foster care and adoption, we've had lots of people ask us that question, including, I mean, many people from within the church. Our lives are meant to look different. And when your lives do look different, when people see that your lives look different, they're going to ask you why. They're going to ask you how. They're going to ask you the reason for your hope. And we have an opportunity there to share the gospel with people, to share where our hope comes from, because our lives look different. We're meant to look different. We're meant to be a light, and that light shouldn't be hidden away. So you have an opportunity through foster care to really show people what hope looks like, what real hope looks like. Living out loud can also help demystify foster care. I think by people seeing a real foster family, right, then it's not so stigmatized, and people can see that we're just a regular family going about our regular day. It may become less intimidating for prospective foster parents when they see it in real life. It can normalize foster care in general, just as a part of our communities. It also can provide real life examples of success and challenges. I think as people see both, then it helps set up realistic expectations for new foster parents. And, you know, maybe it kind of, again, demystifies the concept of foster care. I have seen firsthand for folks going through pre-service training. So I do pre-service training for foster and adoptive parents that are beginning the process of becoming a foster care or adoptive parent. And a lot of them are not necessarily scared of the hard stuff, though maybe they should be sometimes. But what they're scared of is the unknown. The challenge actually inspires them to act in a lot of cases. We share really real stories, real situations with people in that pre-service training. We want them to know what foster care can look like, all aspects of it, including some really, really hard things. And most of the time, we see that a lot of times, actually, these foster parents are more inspired to step up and complete that process when they see some of the hard things that they are going to face. It just helps to have some sort of reference as to what it's going to look like. I think people are a lot less likely to step forward when they have no idea what it looks like. At the beginning of training, we always ask participants to introduce themselves and for them to tell us how they got interested in foster care and adoption. Most everyone starts by saying that they felt called by God to do so, but then many go on to share that they've been exposed to foster care in some way by another foster family. A lot of times, it is being exposed by being pulled in to help, maybe with meals or supplies or babysitting, which leads me to the fifth way I think that we can inspire others to get involved is to really seek out the giftings of other people to assist us as we walk through foster care and adoption. When we first got placed, we adopted a sibling group of five. And when we first got placed with our sibling group, first of all, we had primarily fostered boys. And our biological child is a boy, and so we were used to having boys in the house. We had lots of boy stuff in the house. But our adoptive placement, there are four girls in that group. And we did not have any girl stuff, but our community was so kind and so gracious to step up. They provided all kinds of girl stuff. Like, I don't think we had to buy anything because our community really stepped up and gave us everything that we needed. People want to help. People want to serve. And not everybody is in a place where they can foster or adopt, but people want to know how they can get involved. So it's great if we can allow them, you know, a little peek into our world and a way to support us and support the children in care. I think it's a win all the way around. In fact, when we first got placed with our five, I had somebody call me and say, "Hey, put your laundry out on the front porch and I'm going to come by and grab it and I'll bring it back tomorrow clean and folded." You guys, it was like the angels were singing. It was such a blessing to me, because going from a family of three to a family of eight provided a lot of challenges. And one of those challenges in the beginning was laundry. And this was a way that somebody else could use their talents and their time and their energy to serve kids in care in a way that they were able in that season. But they also got a taste of what it was like to be a part of the foster care and adoption process. I'm the kind of person that jumps into things full force, but a lot of people like to kind of dip their toe in the water. And sometimes serving your family can help with that. It also helps us stay in it longer term, I think, when we're surrounded by community that's helping us, because there are certain things in the care of a foster or adoptive child that only you can do. You need to be the one that they're attaching to. You need to be the one that's working on connected parenting. You need to be the one that's meeting their daily needs. You need to be the one that is taking them to doctor's appointments and some of these other things. But there are ways that other people can step in and take some weight off of your shoulders so that you are not overly burdened with things. And so, and like I said, it's also a great way for people to be able to see foster care, for foster care to become more normal, and for people maybe to be inspired to get involved themselves. I know, and in our conversation today, we're not solving or resolving every issue within the foster care system. But I hope through some of the things that we've talked about, we can all duplicate our efforts by advocating for more families. We want more children to be receiving the care that they need and deserved. So what inspired you to get involved with foster care or adoption? Or if you haven't pulled the trigger yet, what's holding you back? I would love for you to share that with me. Find me on Instagram at fosterparentwell or at Nicole T. Barlow and let me know. And twice a month, I send out resources and tips to care for yourself well so that you can parent with a steadfast faith, endurance, and joy. If you would like to receive the newsletter, the link for that is in the show notes. As always, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and share it with your friends. As we wrap up today, I'd like to pray for us. Lord Jesus, the need is so great. The workers are few. God, call more people to step up and serve children and families in need. Jesus, make us more like you. Give us your heart. Give us strength as we continue to serve and help us support and encourage one another in the hard but important work that we are doing. We love you and we are thankful for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.